Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Welcome to today's show, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about service dogs, even though it's the, you know, first part, right, for the love of dog. We're going to be talking a little bit about how important it is for those of you who have good, normal, healthy kids and good, normal, healthy dogs to help others, because there's a lot of people out there, especially pre and post COVID, who have kids who are unfortunately cancer patients or, you know, have autism, and it's very hard on special needs kids particularly, and it can be very tough on dogs and pets in the home because everybody's getting on everybody's nerves. And we've had two gorgeous, glorious days in the Northeast here, and it was a little bit of a teaser, but it was, I think, what everybody needed. And, you know, it's kind of a mind game here, where everybody thinks they're in the worst shape ever. And when I start seeing people who are multi-billionaires who are holding on to their money because they're worried that, you know, the economy is not going to be good or whatever, if you have that much money that you could not possibly spend it from now until the day your great-grandchildren die, you need to donate some, and donate it to good charities, including ours. But there are a lot of great charities who are starting to have issues. We support a lot of different rescues, groups like down in Aruba. We like to support when they have dogs that come up here. We support literally 200-plus rescue groups. That means with helping them with difficult dogs, we don't charge. We do a lot of really cool things, but I am going to ask everybody, since this is the time just before St. Patrick's Day, which for some reason just brings out the joy in life. Isn't it the best thing in the world that everybody's Irish for a day? And as my good friend Chris always says, the reason he says that the reason, and he's Irish, very Irish, he says the reason Irish people drink so much beer and whiskey is because their food is terrible. But I don't know about that, because I love corned beef. It's one of my favorites. I'm not quite sure if that's a legitimate Irish food or if that's an Americanized Irish food. Man, I love corned beef. It's like the best thing in the world, even coming from a vegetarian background. Man, that's one of those things that just, it's too yummy. So let's go back and talk about how can your dog change and how can you change and how can you help other people? If you've been listening to my show and therefore some of the podcasts and some of the live feed, you know, I'm pretty blunt. I say what's on my mind and I tell you the way things are. And if you don't agree, that's fine, but you know that that's legitimate and that's my belief. And I have a lot of years of expertise that will back that up. So if I tell you something, you don't have to believe it. You can look it up, but please know your source. Recently, and actually today, I was speaking with a very nice lady named Susan, who lives a town over from me, and she thought she would help somebody out by rescuing a Weimaraner. She's probably listening right now saying, oh my gosh, Janice is talking about me on her show. But she really didn't want the dog, but she's a good soul, good-hearted person, and like myself and many of you, we do things sometimes at our own detriment, meaning we know we shouldn't do it, but we do it because we think we'd feel guilty. Well, I think talking about foster failures is a really appropriate thing today. First of all, if you get a tax refund or if you get your stimulus check, you get $1,200 or $2,400 for a couple. If you kind of, you know, you need it, but you don't need it, take $100, throw it to our charity, Merlin's Kids, right? Merlinskids.org, or go on Facebook, Merlin's Kids Service Dogs. Or find your local charity. Find a dog rescue, a cat rescue, counseling, something, and look for a kind of mid-sized charity, because if it's too small, you never know where the money's going. And if it's, you know, one of these that's, you know, $50 million, $160 million, $300 million, they don't care about your $10. They don't care about your $100. We do, and small rescues and other organizations that do really good work, you know, need that money. And again, you don't have to donate it to us. We'd be thrilled if you did, because we have so many kids on our list for service dogs. And when we have a service dog in training and we don't have enough funding, it's a problem, because dogs have to eat. Dogs have to be able to be clean. We are ridiculously clean and neat, and OCD, which is actually a great thing. So our dogs are all perfectly clean and perfectly cared for, and they get what they get. But it's very difficult in this time, and with, you know, COVID and all, people are holding on to their money. So if you're getting a stimulus check and you're getting $2,400, you know, there's a lot of my friends, they tithe a certain amount. Tithe 10% of your check. Give a rescue $240. Just find a good rescue. Or if you want to donate it to Merlin's Kids, God, we could use it. But donate it to someone. If you're getting $1,200, take $120 and donate it to a reputable rescue. You know, look at what they do. Look at how long they're around. The great way to know if somebody's legit is they probably got one or two people who don't like them, because those are other people who wanted to do what they did. I know there are a couple of rescue groups near us, do great work, been around, you know, 15, 20 years. And then there are the new ones that pop up that say, ooh, they're terrible. Well, they may not be terrible. You might just not have been a good volunteer. And then you say, oh, I'm going to go off and I'm going to make my own rescue. But those are the people who go bust in 2 to 5 years. Stick with somebody like Merlin's Kids. We've been around since 1988, formerly since 2008 as a nonprofit, but we've been in business, you know, and helping and saving dogs and working with special needs kids and placing service dogs, 1,300 plus service dogs, over the course of like 30 years. So we've been around a really long time. Pick an organization that's been around a long time that has a lot of news media. That's actually a really good thing. When you get an organization, forget about if they have one bad thing, because everybody's got something. But find them and you say, wow, look, for the last 20 years, they've had newspaper articles and they're in like the Times and USA Today feature and, you know, all over, you know, CBS and ABC and NBC and all these and cable, because they will typically check out an organization pretty well. And, you know, like Wyatt was in and Merlin's Kids was actually featured in a National Geographic book, wonderful book by Rebecca Asher. And she did a beautiful job. It's called Loyal, L-O-Y-A-L. If you want to get a really cute, poignant book, Wyatt is featured as the cancer detection prodigy in that. That's a great book, super well written. I really enjoyed collaborating on it, and Rebecca was wonderful. That's a great book to buy. But if you want to help out, there are other ways. Let's say you say, well, I don't have money. I need the stimulus check. I'm not doing well myself. Okay, some people are still in that position. If you are, you can still, if you're home, because everybody says, oh, I wish I could volunteer, but I'm stuck home. Great. We've got applications that have to go through, fundraising things. We've got different paperwork. We've got outreach, phone calls, all kinds of stuff. And your local rescue will also. So, I'd love for you to help Merlin's Kids, because we definitely need help. We always need, but especially now with all this going on with COVID and everything. But find your local rescue, find your local shelter, a children's group, a battered women's shelter, a battered men's shelter. I know there is actually situations where sometimes men have the same issues. You know, people who are victims of assault and sexual assault. Find an organization that speaks to you and go do something. You got all this time. Volunteer 2 hours a week, 5 hours a week. It's not going to change your life, but it's going to change somebody else's life. And in changing somebody else's life, that will change your life. So, all right, off my soapbox. I'm going to jump down. Jumped off my soapbox. Okay, let me jump back on. I'm going to jump back off my soapbox. And now I'm back off my soapbox. Okay, here we go. So let's talk about today what I've been seeing a lot with a lot of my patients and a lot of people who have been calling me, first-time dog owners, and I did talk about it last week, but I need to reiterate, If you don't know anything about dogs, do not buy a pet store puppy mill puppy. It will not end well. Now, if you're looking for somebody to help you train the dog, okay, you can always use Wyatt's List, right? Wyattslist. Go on Wyattslist.com. You can contact us at United Canine Pros, which is 855-449-9288. Again, that's 855-449-9288. It's basically 855 Hi Wyatt, HIWYATT. You can also, reach out to us, in other ways, like an email, it's United, the letter K, the number 9, pros, P-R-O-S, at gmail.com. So we can access Google files. You can upload pictures of your dog and all kinds of things. So it's United, letter K, the number 9, pros, P-R-O-S, at gmail.com. And we can also, we can help you with your dog. We'll help you for free by phone. The issue here is going to be where you live and who you live with. So when you have, for instance, lovely, lovely lady, I really like her. I spoke with her today as well. They have a pet store, puppy mill, $3,000 that they paid for the poodle, God knows what mix, little thing. And it's a very cute little dog. I mean, it's adorable, but it bites everybody and it doesn't stop barking and it chases you down and it's aggressive. I think it's 7 months old. And if I told you how many of these dogs I have worked with that have almost identical, they're all little tiny mixes of something or other, which seems to be the designer disaster people who are breeding mixed breed designer dogs. And people think that it's like an actual breed. They spend more than they would on a grand champion show dog puppy. And they wind up, and a lot of these people have never even had a dog before. So what do you do if you're one of those people? Okay, I made you feel bad. You're saying, all right, Janice, I'm an idiot. Okay, well, being an idiot in one way or being, misled or trying to do something good and just having it go horribly awry is one thing. But don't give the dog up. And don't send the dog away to a board and train because they're going to use a shock collar on that dog, guaranteed. And you're going to get the dog back with the same issues, or you'll get a zombie back that's terrified to do anything because it's been so, manipulated and abused and zapped. And I'm sure somebody's going to complain and say, but Janice, you don't like shock collars. I mean, e-collars. No, I don't. I don't, because guess what? I've been a dog behaviorist, canine and equine behaviorist, for a lot of years, okay, decades, not just a couple of years. And I have a background in, animal behavior and genetics from Columbia University, okay, I have 2 degrees, actually. So I know what I'm talking about. Guess what? These e-collars and shock collars, these things just came out in the last, 10 to 15 years. What did we do before we had them? Oh, we used clickers and food, obedience through obesity. How about, when I was 5, 6, 7 years old and we had our dog, guess what? When we wanted a dog, my parents, particularly my father, went out and got a puppy. And back then when you got, let's say, 45, 50 years ago, when you got a puppy at a pet store, it wasn't this designer crap that you find. It wasn't a dog that was bred by somebody who doesn't care. You didn't have mixed breed puppies. You had the really good show breeders who would sell to a pet store, and they would sell their pet quality dogs there. So you still had, both of my dogs. I remember my first dog, Charcoal, Master Charcoal Voris McKenzie. Charcoal, his grandfather was the 1967 Westminster winner, best in show. My other one, Eric, who we got to pick out from a breeder, that one was the grandson of the, I think it was 1970-something, Best in Show Westminster winner. And you can look that up, the Scotties who won. They were both of those. My dog, both of them had these grand champion parents, okay? So, well, back then it was just champion because grand champion came out about 7 or 8 years ago. But they were these, like, super dogs. That's why we didn't have a lot of problems. And the, quote-unquote, poor people who couldn't afford it would go out and they would, you know, rescue a dog or buy a puppy for $50, you know, that was like a shepherd lab or a, you know, something bred with something or other. And those dogs were good dogs, though. Those mixes were actually really good because they had something called hybrid vigor. Hybrid vigor is what they think they're doing with these doodle things and these mixes of mixes of mixes, and then they call it something, and you like, oh, wow, a Cavapoo-shan. Oh, really? It's not a thing. You give it a cute name, and somebody's going to pay $5,000 for it. But those dogs were well-bred dogs that had puppies, okay? These were well-bred, let's say your shepherd who was a good, well-bred shepherd without a lot of genetic issues, maybe with your neighbor's golden retriever. And so that was a good dog. So you had two dogs that were well-bred who had an oops. That isn't a problem. The problem arises when you keep breeding garbage to garbage, and there's a very common thing, garbage in, garbage out. And I don't mean that the dogs are garbage, but I mean their genetics are garbage. Now, we've all seen people who we look at them and we say, why are these people having more kids? They've got three kids with special needs or autism or whatever. Why are they having more children? Now, it's a little different with people, but if you kind of know you have a preponderance or a propensity towards having an issue, why do you want to have more of the same one? And that's what I look at when I see, you know, obviously not with humans, and a lot of you are going to hate me now, and that's okay. You can do that. I'm blunt. It's fine. But it's the same thing or even worse with these puppies because you have people who are breeding, and they're breeding and breeding and breeding and breeding indiscriminately, often every 6 months until the mother is, you know, dies or can't have puppies anymore. Then they dump it in some really good shelter who you should be donating to or rescue, takes that mother dog, puts her back together because now she's all beaten down if she hasn't died after having 9 or 10 litters. And all of a sudden, those puppies are going out, and they're going out for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and they're mutts. So it's fine if you say, oh, I want a low-shedding, quote-unquote hypoallergenic, which is, there's no such thing, but I want a low-shedding dog. Well, guess what? Standard poodles, a female standard poodle is about 45 pounds. That's not a big dog. They're Havanese. They're Maltese. There are Mexican hairless, the Jolo dogs. They're really cool. They got nothing because they got no hair. There are all kinds of wonderful, wonderful dogs, Portuguese water dogs, Irish water spaniels, toy poodles, mini poodles. You know, there are a lot of these dogs that are naturally low shedding or no shedding, even schnauzers. So there are a ton of breeds that you can go to a top AKC show breeder of merit. You can go to that breeder. That breeder will guarantee temperament. You know the dog is going to be healthy. It's not going to come with, like most of these people, they get these dogs. It's got Giardia. It's got Coccidia. It's got worms. How many kinds of worms? Three kinds of worms. Oh, this one, it's got heartworms. This one is a poodle mix that it's not a poodle mix. It's a Jack Russell Fox Terrier mix. There's no poodle in that dog. It's another lovely client who's probably listening right now. But it was sold to her as a poodle mix. I said, guess what? Go get a DNA test. By the way, if you bought one of these designer dogs and you bought it because it was a certain mix, spend $120 or whatever it is on either Wisdom Panel or Embark. Get that so you know what your dog is a mix of. Because if your dog, let's say you buy it and it's supposed to be a Cavalier poodle mix, and you get that DNA, and it's a Cocker Spaniel with poodle, with Chihuahua, you can sue them. You can get what's called treble damages, which is like it's an intent. It's basically for fraud. So three times what you paid, three times the damages. You go to these pet stores. Pet stores should be out of business unless they are rescuing dogs. Like, there's a couple of great rescues out there, and, you know, they're set up in shopping malls and different things like that, of course, which is now not great with COVID. But what's great about that is the dogs are out there. You can see them. You can visit with them. And any reputable rescue, not even as much a shelter, shelter is less so, you go to a good, solid rescue group. And make sure, again, they're around for 10, 15, 20 years. Make sure that they're not a fly-by-night, because I can't tell you how many of the rescues go out of business, okay? But there are a lot of really good rescues out there, really good rescues, that if you have a problem with that dog, they'll take the dog back. Or if they don't take the dog back, they'll maybe pay for the dog to be rehabilitated. They'll help you. Some of them have actual trainers. Most of them don't, but a few of them have people who are, you know, decent and can help you free of charge, or you reach out and, you know, we'll help you, and we can refer you to people. You can, you know, reach out to me. There's a lot of things to do, and these dogs are great because they're already there. It's kind of like the difference between adopting a child or giving birth to a child. And there's some people who would never adopt, and there's some people who would never do a birth, because there's so many children in this world who need help. And if you're one of those people who wants to rescue, that's awesome, because rescuing is, to me, the best way of doing it. That's why Merlin's Kids has mostly rescue dogs. We do use the Rhodesian Ridgebacks Grand Champion Show Dog puppies that I donate to the organization. I've given them, I don't know how many, 10, 12 litters, or I don't know, 14 litters, a lot of litters. And they're the best dogs in the world. And we have, like, you know, over an 80% success rate from puppy to trained, placed service dog, which is, nobody can claim that. So these dogs are amazing. They live a long time. They're super easy to work with. They like to work, and they're phenomenal service dogs who save lives. And we actually had this week a young man whose life was probably saved by the dog, because he fell and blacked out. Thankfully he's okay. But his dog, his Merlin's Kid service dog, went up and alerted his mother, woke her up, got her out, got her downstairs. And then when she got downstairs, she heard that he had fallen, and he, by that point, was crying in pain, broke his elbow. And this is, you know, something that happens. We see this a lot, where a dog will, you know, one of our service dogs from Merlin's Kids will retrieve a child, will keep a child from running out the door, will keep a child from getting into, you know, into trouble with a microwave or a stove, or will save their lives, or seizure dogs or blood sugar dogs. So, you know, this is really something that everybody needs to kind of address, that dogs can do amazing things. But don't perpetuate puppy mills and backyard breeders and people who are ripping you off. It does not cost. All right, you know what the expense, everybody always says, hey, Janice, why are show dogs so expensive? Well, a show dog, if you have a good show dog that you're going to campaign, you can easily, if you have a handler is about $125 class plus expenses. So let's say it averages $150 a class, $160 a class, and per class the dog goes in, let's say per each dog show. And then, of course, there's entry fees that are about $30 to $40 each. So let's just round it up and say it costs $200 per show. And let's say we have, like, my dog, who's just like a couple of points, grand champion points away from her gold grand championship, which is 400 points on top of 200 for her silver, on top of 100 for her bronze, on top of 25 for her grand champion, on top of 15 for her regular championship. And so let's say, how many shows has she been in? All right, well, I would venture to say a good 150 shows, maybe 200 shows by this point. Okay, so I think 200 is probably pretty reasonable. So let's say 200 shows, and let's say it's $200 per dog show. That's $40,000. That's just for dog show entry. That's for just going to dog shows. to get this gold grand championship. Now, it costs money to feed. It costs money for transportation. It costs money for vet. It costs money for vet insurance, right? So let's say you put, let's say $60,000, $70,000 into this dog. And let's say she has one litter. And let's say each of those puppies costs, let's say $3,500. Let's say there's 10 puppies and you do one litter. That's $35,000 you recover out of like $70,000, $80,000. So is that a good business deal? No. Now, let's take some kind of doodle thing, okay, or mixed breed designer dog, let's just say. And, I love dogs. I love all dogs. I have all kinds of different dogs. I just hate the people who breed these dogs because they don't care, and I'm going to tell you why. They're charging you $4,000, $3,000, $2,000, $5,000. Now, what are their expenses? I know what my expenses are. I stay home with those puppies for the first 8 weeks of their life. I don't go anywhere. And I know what I would charge to do this for somebody else. And if I go out, I have to pay somebody to stay in there, and I have to pay somebody to pet sit my dog so I can go out and rehabilitate people's bad dogs with behavioral issues. So these people get rid of the dogs. If it's going from a pet to a pet store, they get rid of them by 6 weeks, which is crazy young. That's why so many of them have issues. But if, let's say, instead of 6 weeks, let's say they keep it to 8 weeks, okay? So in 8 weeks, the puppies have, that's about 2 to 3 weeks where they maybe had one vaccination, which they probably did themselves, which is about $12. So, and that's, you can actually get them a lot cheaper. You can get them for about $1.50 to $2 for the four-way. So they're doing you a big favor by giving you the first series of shots at 6 weeks, which actually neutralizes whatever antibodies might have been in the puppy from mama. So now you have to vaccinate them every 3 to 4 weeks until they're 16 weeks old. So what are the expenses? Okay, well, there was no stud fee because they own the mixed breed designer disaster or poorly bred whatever toy poodle they have that they got at a pet store or bought cheap somewhere. So they have no stud fee. The mother, they probably paid a couple $100s or, you know, again, got somewhere, whatever. So there's not a whole lot of expense there. There's definitely no show dog fees. There might not be a lot of veterinarian fees. So, and they feed garbage dog food to the mother. They probably got her vaccinations, which, you know, they have to pay for rabies because that has to be administered by a veterinarian. So maybe that's $30, $40, $50. So how much are these people put in? A couple $100s and some cheap dog food? And they just pump out puppies from the time the female goes into heat the first time. And they just keep pumping them out and pumping them out and pumping them out and charging stupid people $2,000 to $5,000 for something that probably cost them $50 to produce. That's a good business. Anybody who's unscrupulous, I actually had a very nice girl, but she was looking to make money, 17-year-old girl, called me and asked me, she wanted to get a, you know, do something to make money. And I started brainstorming with her to see what she might want to do. And she goes, well, I already figured out what I want to do. I want to breed poodle mixes, but I want to know which of the poodle mixes is the most expensive one. Like, which one would I get the most money for? And that is mortifying. And unfortunately, that's pretty common. A lot of these people start like that. They start wanting to make a couple bucks, and they make a couple bucks. They make a lot of money. They sell, let's say they have five puppies, and each goes for $4,000. They make $20,000. Meanwhile, they were working for, you know, $9 an hour at some, you know, kind of menial labor, and they can make $20,000 in 6 weeks, or, you know, 6 weeks plus the 63 days it takes for the gestation period. So they say, wow, that was great. I'm going to buy more females. And then you just accumulate more, or you keep a couple of them from the litters that you produce. You breed them back to the same stud dog, right? Who's the father, and that's also the husband. And this is why a lot of these dogs, that you know, they have these marginal, let's call it, genetics. And then on top of it, you're breeding and inbreeding and inbreeding and inbreeding, and you wonder why they have problems? Of course they have problems. So the way you stop that is by rescuing the dog. And rescuing, by the way, is not what like what I saw today on Facebook, where somebody had listed, oh, we rescued these golden doodles, which isn't a breed. We've rescued these dogs from puppy mills. It's terrible. So we're only rehoming them to good homes for $1,800 each. So they have good homes, these babies. I wanted to throw up. You're the puppy mill. They put these sob stories out. No rescue, not a rescue in the world that's reputable. Unless that dog is trained as a service dog or has some major training, is going to charge you more than a few hundred dollars. A lot of the places are between $75 and $300. You shouldn't have to pay more than that. And most of the good rescues, the rescues have already spayed, neutered, vaccines, whatever it needed for vaccination. They've got a microchip, which is like 10 bucks. You know, but they do stuff and they care and they try to help. And that's the problem is when you think you're rescuing a dog from a pet store, all you're doing is perpetuating it because now they made money. Even if they say, oh, the dog was 6 months old, they get rid of it. They fill that cage up. Let them not have an empty cage because nobody buys dogs. And you can say whatever it is. If you have a pet store and you are selling puppies at your pet store, you are no good in my book because you don't know where those dogs are coming or you do know where they're coming from. You're paying $400, $500 from a schmuck in you know, Pennsylvania or Ohio or Missouri or wherever who's breeding these dogs and again, like I just said, and breeding and breeding and breeding, and you buy these dogs for $500 and you sell them for $3,000 to $4,000. You know, come on, really. Donate some of that money you're making, and instead of, you know, perpetuating the puppy mills, and that's what you're doing, donate your money. Go get a real job. Go, you know, go join like a union. Go join the mafia. Go do something legitimate. Go become a politician. Go do something. But stop hurting people and hurting animals and perpetuating puppy mills and perpetuating 17-year-olds wanting to make money and breeding indiscriminately. I mean, I guess it's better than them breeding indiscriminately and becoming pregnant, but come on, it's crazy. So I guess I'm back off my soapbox. I got to jump off. Hold on. Jumped off my soapbox again. And we will come right back for a very spirited second part of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog coming right up. Stay tuned. Well, we're spirited and we're keeping the spirit up. One of the things I love to do on the From Shelter Dog to Service Dog section of our show every Friday is I like to kind of give you guys some kind of tips, if you would, on how to improve your relationship with your dog. And I would like to do that today. When you work with your dog, a lot of people come to me and been crazy today. Literally, I've probably had a couple of dozen people. I've been on the phone for most of the day. And everybody says the same thing. How do I get the dog I bought for my son, my daughter, my husband, my whoever, how do I get the dog to focus on me more? Because it's not focusing on me. It seems to be focusing more on somebody I didn't want it to focus on. Well, the issue is the relationship isn't right to start with. So if you say, like, for instance, you know, hey, I've got a dog who, you know, and I like this dog a lot and he's really cute and I bought him. But if the dog doesn't bond to you immediately, you got to start thinking, all right, why isn't the dog bonding to me? Sometimes the dog isn't bonding to you, not because there's a problem with the dog, but because he's just not the right dog for you. And that does happen actually pretty frequently, a lot more than you'd realize or that you'd want to acknowledge. So when you have a dog or you're looking for a dog to have for yourself, the most important part for me, I think, is to have a dog who is bonded to you from the beginning. And sometimes when you have a dog who's bonding to you, and it's a good dog, but it might be a really wise choice to take your whole family with you when you're going to buy a puppy, or if you're going to buy a dog that you want to train as a service dog, and make sure that that dog, it's okay with all the rest of the family, but that it particularly is very much clingier to you than it is to other people. So you can do that. And that happens a lot when people come and they say, hey, Janice, I want a Rhodesian Ridgeback. I had a few people today, too. It's a crazy day. Well, I want a Rhodesian Ridgeback. Oh, how do I know which one's right for me? I want it to be my service dog. Well, the way you know it's right for you is make sure the dog picks you. Don't pick the dog. And a good breeder will look at you and will assess the dog likes you, the dog doesn't like you. So if you want a dog, don't pick the dog. Let the dog pick you. Let's face it, you're going to love whichever dog it is that, you think is, they're all beautiful. You know, you go and you look at a litter of gorgeous Rhodesian Ridgebacks, okay? You look at them and you know they're all beautiful. You know you're going to love whichever one it is, but there's going to be one of them that's going to come to you. One of them, not the one who's all the way in the back, because people always say that. They go, oh, I just want the one in the back because he looks like everybody's picking on him. That's the one I want. No, don't take that one ever. The reason that one is shunned is because it's so annoying and irritating and ill-behaved that even its own family members don't want it. Let somebody else get that dog. You want a dog from the middle of the ranking. You don't want the most dominant. You don't want the most submissive. You want a dog who's confident without being dominant, and you want the dog to pick you. And a good breeder and a reputable breeder, unless it's like, pick a litter show dog and that's why you're getting the dog, a good reputable breeder, show breeder, is going to make sure that you get the dog that is supposed to be with you. And you have to think about it. The dog has the opportunity to pick anybody it wants. And that's what we do with our service dogs at Merlin's Kids. We have, kids will come in and we have 3 or 4 dogs for them to choose from. Sometimes we'll have 10 dogs. We have 45 dogs, I think, at our ranch that are in different stages of training. And we find which dog matches with which child. And it's based on how the dog interacts with the child more than how the child interacts with the dog. So when you're training a dog and you want to get a puppy or a rescue dog, bear in mind that from rescue dogs, about 1 in 100, and that's for me to pick it, or somebody who really knows what they're doing, 1 in 100 rescue dogs, shelter dogs, can become a service dog. And there's a ton of rescue dogs out there, so that's actually a lot of dogs out there. Do not go in and fall in love with your eyes or your heart. Fall in love with your brain. Go in and say, you know what? I was looking for a 40-pound dog. That's a 100-pound dog. That's probably not going to work for you if you were looking for a mid-sized dog. If you're going to do a lot of traveling, or if you don't have a lot of money, a smaller dog is generally less expensive to care for. Medication is less. Insurance is less. Food is less. Transportation, travel is less. Everything's less. So if you figure what you're going to need, and treat it like a car. Go in, don't worry about the color, but go in and look and go. You can go on any of these search engines that you can find a good dog, or ask your friends. But find the rescue you want. Instead of finding the dog you want, find a reputable rescue and then ask them and say, this is what I'm looking for. Let me know if you find something that fits the bill. Because you're going to love whatever dog it is, but you want at least a lot of the rescues, the people really know what they're talking about. Certainly there are a lot of them that are not good, but again, that's, check the rescue out. And I look at it, I think the most valuable thing is when people speak well of it, like people in your neighborhood. It's like the same way you find a good veterinarian, or a good doctor for your kid, or you want to know who's best, eye doctor in the area. You want to check by reference, right? So if you find a rescue that's reputable, that you've had a lot of good experience with and that people are happy about, and they say, yeah, we got a great dog, or we got a dog that was a problem, but they took the dog back, they were helpful, they did this, that's what you want, because all the dogs are pretty much the same. Everybody gets dogs from pretty much the same place, either deep south or Midwest. That's where they're from. And if you want to get a good dog, find the rescue you want. And then when you go, just ignore the dog for a little bit. See what the dog does. See if the dog is interested in you. See if the dog wants to be in your lap. See if the dog naturally sits near you. Kind of let the dog and let the dog's behavior and actions dictate if that's going to be potentially a good dog for you or not. But people don't think that way. They look and they go, oh, my God, look at his eyes. Look how cute he is. Well, he may be very cute, but he might have been returned several times for biting children in the face. You don't know that. Or he might have been owned by an elderly person who perhaps wasn't able to keep the dog or God forbid, passed away. And that could be a perfectly good dog. So you don't always get the true story when you have a dog from a rescue or shelter. But the cool thing about it is that if you have a rescue or shelter that you trust, they will help you to find the right dog. Don't rush through it. But on the same hand and by the same token, if you find an amazing dog and everyone's like, oh my God, this is the best dog, put in an application right away, because the dogs who are really, really good tend to go pretty quickly. But make sure that the rescue or shelter will either allow you to have the dog for a couple of weeks to try him out. That's not unreasonable to ask for. Or that they will offer some kind of training classes or help. Pre-COVID, I was doing that all the time, helping a lot of different rescues and shelters, including the one in the county in which I lived. And, it was great, because when people would want to return a dog, they would speak with me. I would help them by phone. If I had to, I would meet them somewhere. And then we would fix the issues almost all the time. They would want to keep the dog, and then they got to keep the dog, and the shelter and rescues I work with don't get the dog back. We know that it's not good when you return a dog, but if it's the wrong dog, don't keep it, because you wind up getting a dog who's a year or two old and it's the wrong dog. It's like being in a really bad abusive relationship, and it gets worse and worse. And there are some dogs that can't be fixed. Like, there are a lot of humans that can't be fixed. There are a few dogs that can't be fixed. And if you happen to find one of them, it's nice to have a shelter or a rescue that'll stand behind you and help you to get through that time. So, there's a lot. Now, when you do find the right dog, it's also important to get a good trainer. If you're looking to do service dog training, I would not necessarily start out with obedience or clicker training. I would not use food, because then the dog is always going to be food motivated. Make sure you get them on a good, solid, good dog food, high quality. Shouldn't be necessarily grain-free. Grain-free can cause dilated cardiomyopathy in some dogs, especially boxers and certain other breeds that have a predisposition. But it's a real thing. But if you can get something, chicken and rice or salmon and sweet potato, something like that that doesn't have a lot of peas and legumes in it, it's typically a very good, that's a good nutrition. But dogs also, every dog, it's like kids need vitamins, we need vitamins, dogs need vitamins too. So one of the other things that's also super helpful is to get the dog on a vitamin supplement. The one we use at Merlin's Kids is called Nuvet, Nuvet.com. It's Nuvet.com. And they have Nuvet Plus canine wafers, or wafers for dogs, whatever it's called. It's a green and white bottle. You have to get it from the company. I can give you a code that'll be, saving you 15%. And I think if you get a couple of bottles, you get free shipping. I order about 24 bottles a month. We go through about 16 bottles every month in our Missouri training facility. And I go through 8 bottles here at the New Jersey facility. So they're great. They boost the immune system. They strengthen the dogs, intensely strengthen the immune system, the body. They help prevent cataracts and itching and allergies and hot spots. And all the good show breeders know about them, that they're really awesome. The code, if anybody wants them, it's NuVet, NUVET.com. It's 86686. And that 86686 number allows you to get that 15% discount. What's great about those particular vitamins, we've been using them for years and years and years, like 15 years probably. What's great about them is they're made in a human pharmaceutical lab, an FDA pharmaceutical lab. So it's FDA approved. So it's actually a human grade everything. Everything that's in it is proteinated and chelated. And I get a lot of people who particularly have either these designer dogs that are bred in puppy mills in people's backyards and people's, house in the basement or in the garage in little cages. And they start out behind the eight ball because it's very hard for a puppy who started out with poor nutrition and poor genetics to get past that. But the vitamins are great. And they also have a joint supplement called New Joint. That's also phenomenal. They have great shampoo. I know that because I just ordered a big order with Renee and, at NuVet. So I know the company is a super, super company. But those vitamins are great if your dog, especially if you get a rescue, if your dog is coprophagic, meaning it eats poop, or if the dog is, counter surfing a lot, or it's just always eating, deer poop or whatever is outside, a lot of times that's nutritional. So even if you have the dog on a really good high-quality food, the vitamins and minerals and even in a lot of the good foods are not proteinated and chelated, so they're not really absorbed. And that's why the dogs, instead of having food that's absorbed and vitamins and minerals and nutrients that are absorbed, they're not absorbed. And then the dog instead winds up trying to get, eating poop or plants or whatever, pills, whatever happens to be nearby. And that's where they get in trouble. So make sure that your dog has everything that it needs. Make sure that the dog is healthy, and more importantly than anything, make sure that the dog is doing everything and getting everything that it needs, because if it's not getting everything it needs, it's going to always be searching for food, always be kind of starving, and those are the ones that are begging and counter surfing and everything else. So get your dog on good nutrition, no corn, wheat, or soy. No BHA, BHT, byproducts, propylene glycol, half a dozen other things, digest, and all these things that are really, really, really bad for dogs, but people include there, and they give, they put stuff in food, dog food that's cheap. So the last thing I want to do is go through and just chit-chat for a moment, because we're almost finished with our show. I can't even believe it. Time goes so quickly, but, think about donating, donate, pick a charity that you like, one that's legitimate, reputable, close to your heart. And if Merlin's Kids happens to be one that you're interested in, we would love to have your donations. We also are looking for a farm or ranch or a couple of acres at least, in the South and also in the California area, but really we're looking for places that we can expand what we do to help dogs, to help kids, to help veterans, and do all these things, because this is the right thing to do, people. And if you want to donate to us, I would appreciate it. We always appreciate it, but donate to somebody, help somebody, help an organization that's doing good for others so that they can do more good, because COVID's really strangling a lot of people. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful, healthy, and very, very happy, good weekend, good happy St. Patrick's Day coming up. Have fun. And let's all, you know, just be kind to each other. And I'll see you all next week. Have a great, healthy, happy weekend. God bless.